Hello, hello. You are listening to What's K-Poppin', the podcast. And this episode, believe it or not, will be the last episode of What's K-Poppin', probably for forever, unless I decide to maybe pick it back up in the future, which in that case, I would probably, this podcast would be probably a lot more professional, maybe not. If I decide to pick it up as a hobby, then maybe it would stay the same low quality and me just ranting and blabbering for 20 minutes. But I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy doing this, but I also just enjoy, I think I'd rather spend that time like watching a TV show or reading or doing something else. But who knows? But what I mean is, if I do it someday in the future, actually for like a venture, trying to maybe, I don't know, have a little side gig, then yeah, I would hope that this show would be a lot better in quality and I would be much more put together and have content that actually means something. But anyway, for now, this is the end of an era. It's strange to think I've been doing this podcast for, let's see, if this is the 16th episode, this would be 4 semesters, so 2 years. That's kind of crazy to me. And today's episode is going to be different than all the rest. So, I mean, it's still going to relate to K-pop, don't worry. I mean, like, Korean, my relationship with Korean media and popular culture, but it's not going to have the same vibe, of course, as, sorry, I'm drinking a cherry soda, so I just burped. And I burped again. Okay. It's not going to have the same kind of vibe, though, as, you know, here are my favorite K-dramas of this, or here is my favorite playlist, or whatever. I thought about, you know, how should I end this podcast? And maybe I thought I should go back through and, like, listen to some of my episodes, or, which I think I still might do just for me personally, and I'll explain that later in this podcast. But I also thought, I could do something cumulative, or I could just make it another extra, or another regular episode, because I had some other ideas left. And then I had a different idea that has kind of gone the wayside that I will not be doing anymore. Again, I'll explain in a second. And so, in a way, my world has been altered slightly. It feels kind of like a big change right now. It's this thing that's ended has led to bigger life changes and just kind of put me in uncertainty at some times and has put me back into uncertainty again. And I think this episode, I really kind of want to, in a way, just talk about what I've been going through a bit. Don't worry, I'm not going to get too emotional or deep per se, but just kind of talk about maybe my journey overall and kind of with my interest in Korean dramas and Korean pop music and just Korean pop culture, and kind of just like, I don't know, go over everything once more, and almost like this is for me like a reaffirmation of myself. So yeah, if you're not interested in listening to that, then I totally understand and feel free to tune out. But this is for me, this is for us, our last episode, and I hope you do enjoy. So let's get started. Okay, so where do I want to begin? I guess I want to start from the now. No, wait. So where to begin? I think I'll start at the beginning, which you're like, well, obviously, yeah. But like, in a way, it's more happy if I start with the crappy stuff first and then go to the happy, or the cute little beginnings for me. But I will do all of that mantra stuff at the end. How about that? So, as you may recall from my first episode ever, I got into Korean pop culture through Chinese dramas, actually. I started watching them over interterm my sophomore year of college, and that really started to, which was like my second semester, if you don't know that lingo. So I really loved them, got obsessed with them, and then I got into K-pop that summer, And before then, I really hadn't been into the music, hadn't been into BTS, but I became obsessed with BTS. I became obsessed with just listening, or I mean, I opened myself up to K-pop just in general, primarily listening to BTS and not really liking other groups, but now I listen to everyone and everything and a range of Korean artists, which you can check out in my last podcast. but yeah, I've developed where this was something solely developed around me, around something, an interest that I liked that had nothing to do with anyone else. I will say that generally speaking, I've always had an interest kind of in Asian culture. I hosted a girl from China for 2 weeks. I stayed with her for a week in China. I have always just been interested in it. And so I guess that maybe helped lay the foundation a bit, but obviously it became something way more my sophomore year of college. And so then my senior year this year, I decided to, my junior year of college, once we went to the online for the pandemic, I decided, you know what, I had been thinking about and imagining, you know, what would it be like if I taught English in South Korea, if I could actually have that chance and like go to Korea, live there, see what it's like. And for a while I held myself back thinking, no, that's like not a real career, you know, that would be 1 year and then what? And then I would be kind of like not skillless, but like kind of out of the industry. I would be behind in many ways, because things just advance so quickly, trends change. And while again, it's valuable experience, it'd be so cool, I also just didn't see it as, it just didn't make sense to me path-wise, because I've always been about following a path. And so it wasn't until the pandemic occurred and I'd kind of had like many meltdowns related to my self-worth in the future and wanting to be someone who does something really special and fantastic. And finally, I just had all this time and I said, you know, why don't I just take this TEFL certification course and then, you know, maybe with all this time that I have, like really just take this step and do it. And so I did. And so I completed it. And by the end of the summer, I was really just thinking about how I wanted to go to Korea, and that was my next step. And so, of course, senior year, back at it. I will say that, you know, my K-pop interest, especially in BTS, had peaked in February. So around, you know, their release of their Map of the Soul 7 album, I bought concert tickets. And so a lot of the pandemic kind of put that on hold for me. Sorry. I put it on hold for me, and in many ways I felt like I was falling out of the fandom, but then I would kind of get back in. Dynamite helped me get back in for sure. But yeah, like I decided my senior year I wanted to take Korean at KU. And so I started taking it online, which the pandemic actually helped me be able to like have an avenue for learning it. And I started doing that, and basically, my entire semester, I was like really hellbent on this idea of, oh, I'm gonna go to Korea and I'm gonna be out of America, done with all this political crap here. My friends, most of them were dating someone and we weren't spending a lot of time together. I didn't seem super close to them. So I was like, you know what? I don't really care. I'm gonna leave them, kind of not like ditch them, forget about them, but I'm just really bad at keeping up with people and staying friends with people when I'm not in proximity to them. Because I've made a lot of friends from camp, made a lot of friends, or maybe not a lot, but some friends through study abroad, and I just have not like kept up with them whatsoever because of the proximity. Oh my gosh, sorry. Gosh. Should not have drunk this soda while doing this. Anyway, but there was one thing I have to admit that I have to talk about. And yes, all of this does stupidly kind of center around a boy. So my Korean TA, I won't name names, don't worry, I'll keep this anonymous. My Korean TA, I had a huge crush on from the beginning. And it kind of, I mean, it was like this stupid, like, kid-like almost crush, like, just dumb. And I enjoyed telling my friends about, oh, guess what? Blank Sonsaengnim said to me today, or Blank Sonsaengnim definitely was flirting with me, or whatever. Just, like, silly, dumb stuff. But then, I was being tutored by him over Christmas break, and my dumb little crush started really forming into what I felt like was something more strong, and I felt a little afraid by that. But then turns out he had the same feelings for me, and so we actually started dating, and a whole bunch of stuff happened that I won't again delve into. But basically, my I had this all this fear and all this just worry about like all of a sudden. Not like he became less appealing, but like I just got really afraid. I was thinking, well, what about my future plans of wanting to go to Korea? And what about, you know, just the future? Like, I'm graduating so soon. And why does he like me now? Like, how could he like me? And then I realized a lot of it was linked to, I think, this feeling of like inferiority, of self hate. A lot of it, you know, I was coming to terms with a lot of the ways that I'd been thinking kind of about Korea and about my life in the future, being someone who's prettier, happier, with someone who's really attractive. And then, of course, imagining, not being able to imagine my life after being, you know, youthful, I realized that I had a lot of unhealthy ideas about myself and about life in general, and that I really didn't value myself, and I didn't see, and that had been going on for, you know, years in the making, since I had a terrible fallout in terms of like my college freshman year. My mental health just declined, and I really altered, and I went through a significant breakup and blah blah blah. And so I just, it forced me to kind of come to terms and realize, you know, I'm not okay right now. I'm, even though I'm not like severely depressed like I had been my freshman year of college, I'm also not totally normal either. And I need to start getting support, especially if I want to pursue a relationship. And so I started, you know, taking care of myself, getting back into that, and I started dating this TA, and it was going really well. I was definitely kind of hesitant still at the beginning, and definitely it took a lot to get used to things, since I'm such a perfectionist, and since no one is perfect, and having to learn to love imperfectly was difficult. But I did really truly believe, in the short amount of time, that I fell in love, possibly, or maybe just an intense liking. And I really just was super happy for a solid like 2 months. And then I started to notice a change in his behavior. He didn't reassure me as much about my place in his world. He wasn't as affectionate. He, of course, was nice to me. Like, he was never mean in any way. He was never rude or cold, or he just felt a little distant. He felt like a friend. Like, he just felt like a fun friend to be with. And that was, and finally, basically, long story short, he broke up with me a few days ago because of this. And he told me, as I had suspected, that his feelings for me had changed. He couldn't pinpoint why, and he felt terrible. He wasn't able to make me feel like someone who was lovable when I, you know, had expressed to him how I used to think, very up until very recently, that I didn't think of myself as someone who was lovable. And so, of course, you know, this has been a few days later, because, by the way, if you didn't know, my other past three podcasts that I've recorded were all over Christmas break. In fact, he was the one who recommended me all those artists to listen to in that third podcast. So this podcast I wanted to do with him because he said he had a spiel he wanted to say about K-pop or something. But of course, that's not happening anymore. So I kind of wanted to go back to the roots and where it all started, because, I mean, obviously a breakup, right? Point blank, that's hard. And I promise this is not going to revolve around this. I'm getting to my point here. It's really hard, especially it blurs this line between things that are important to me before him and like after him. Because, like, of course, he introduced a lot of music to me. He cooked me a lot of my first Korean meals. We went to a Korean grocery store together and K-pop store. We just experienced a lot of things together, obviously outside of just Korean culture, but for the purpose of this podcast, that's what we'll talk about. And so it's kind of like, part of me is, you know, when I listen to a song, it's hard for me, like, oh, this is an artist that he recommended to me or whatever. Or going to class, I had this like freak out almost, thinking, you know, I'm gonna quit going to Korean class, and I just, what's the point anymore? And I have to, and also another part of me though, like a different coping mechanism was, okay, just forget about him and you're gonna go to Korea now. Like, boom, that's your new plan. You're gonna go there. You're gonna have a great time. Like, now the future has been cleared. There is no uncertainty there. Like, you're free to do and go wherever you want. And while that is true, like, this the future has definitely cleared up some ambiguity, although for me, I was okay with it being ambiguous. I will say, I don't also want to view Korea as like this utopia where I'm going to find myself, fix myself. Like, from the very beginning, I've known that going there would be, I mean, a great experience, but also a very, very hard experience. It's not like it's going to be easy whatsoever. Like, just the transition, being so far from home on a different time, in a completely different time zone, and the language barrier, oh my God, not being able to communicate with people, probably feeling very lonely and isolated at times and frustrated and tired. And then, of course, just the stress of having to teach, which is a job I don't have a lot of experience with, and everything. Like I said, there's great, I'm sure, great things that I would experience, but also it would be really tough. And in conclusion, I wish I could just study abroad, but you can't do that as an adult, I guess. But yeah, so I don't want to like idealize it all over again, because I think I definitely did some of that in the future, or in my senior year, you know, when I was like, screw this, screw friends, whatever, I'm going to move out of here, I'm going to move on from Kansas, I'm going to have a really cool, interesting life, and everyone else is going to, you know, whatever. And I don't want to view it like that, because honestly, that's very similar to how I viewed college my freshman year. After I broke up with my boyfriend, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a lot of fun, I'm gonna meet all these friends and whatnot. And then it ended up turning out to be like the hardest year of my life. And so I don't wanna kind of build myself up to that. I'm also not saying that I can't have hope, but I need to just have like a more realistic expectation that there will be a lot of bad that comes with a lot of the good too. But I guess what I wanted to like kind of reconfirm in myself and just say as a mantra is that obviously, like, my interest in Korea and Korean culture and pop culture was around long before he was, and I shouldn't give up on that passion just because this happened. And I'm not saying I was planning on doing that, but I don't want it to soil it either. And I'm also not saying I have to remain, you know, like, I really don't want this to be a phase in my life. I truly want to remain interested for a decent amount of time in Korean culture. I would really, truly love to go there someday. Definitely, especially if I don't end up teaching, just going there for a trip. But I think that I know that, for example, my interest in BTS, I'm not sure will ever be as high as it used to be. And I don't want to, like, again, use that as a coping mechanism to, like, throw myself back in the fandom just so I have something to distract myself with. And the same with kind of, like, K-dramas. I've been interested in starting those again, but I feel like I'll feel discouraged if I just can't finish them or get back into them because my attention span has changed so freaking much. But yeah, I think just finding ways to fill and occupy my time again, and kind of to remind myself like that I definitely had an established life, established happiness before him, and I was, you know, not like crazy perfect happy with him. Not saying that it wasn't good, because it was great and I have no resentment against him, but you know that life is good, life will be okay. Gosh, now I'm just like ranting for realsies, but that, you know, just take your time, feel the feelings that you need to feel, don't connect him, don't try to overblow his importance, even though he was important stage in your life, but that he isn't the end-all be-all of things, and that you should not necessarily, do not compare him to other guys that you meet, or you know, don't try to think, oh, you'll never see me someone like him again. You're blah. You'll find someone who loves you. But, and I know that's getting into the zone of the sappiness, or but also to remember that coming out of this like with more self-worth of you did that, you loved well, and you also were loved. Even if it was for a short time, you were loved. You've proven that you were lovable, likable, and someone, somewhere, someday will be the one, will be the right fit. So, and that this shouldn't affect, you know, if you want to go to Korea, then you should go to Korea and don't think about, you know, how a lot of firsts have happened with him or how it relates to him at all in any way. So, because it was here long before he was, and just get back to the root of you. Yeah, girl, go do your thing. All right. Well, this podcast has been really fun. Like I said, I might go back and listen to a couple episodes and remind myself kind of my passion, my love, where it all started. Kind of to regain that sense of self a little bit more. But yeah, I know it's going to be hard these next few weeks and months, but I'll be good. I'll be okay. And we'll see where the future takes us. Me and I guess what's K-popping. So thank you so much for listening. Until next time.